If you would, and turn to Matthew chapter number 2. I was, Brother Adam, did you make that announcement back there? Thank you, brother. I heard someone, I walked by Sunday, and I heard someone say, "My house is beginning to look a lot like Christmas." And I just assumed what they meant by that is they were decorating. You know, they had their tree and all that stuff up. And well, it's that time of year already, isn't it? Again. And so I want to talk to you about the importance of maintaining the right attitude. What is the attitude that we ought to have during this season? And as I've done for some time now as the pastor here, I like to use the month of December. And I know that this is November, so before you say anything, I'd like to use the month of December, and this year it's going to be the last Wednesday in November and the month of December up to the 25th, which will be Sunday, to talk with you a little bit about the birth of Christ and some of the things the Bible says about the coming of Jesus and why He came and, well, the people that were around during that day, the culture and how He was received. And, you know, we have a president-elect that says that he's going to bring back Merry Christmas, you know, and that's fine, but I never have quit saying it. I never have quit saying Merry Christmas, and whether he brings it back or not, it's stayed with me. I'm going to say Merry Christmas, amen, and I would encourage you to do the same. And he says he's going to be Christian-friendly in those things, and that's not a bad thing. I hope that he'll follow through with the promises that he made. And before you leave and say, "Hey, you know, the preacher doesn't like Donald Trump." No, I voted for him. So it's not about that. It's just my hope is not in Donald Trump. So don't, you know, now as an American, I certainly want to honor our president. And I think that we ought to pray for our leadership. I have prayed for President Barack Obama. And you say, "Oh, I never pray for him." Well, I think you ought to change your position on that. Because the scripture says we ought to pray for those in authority over us. And I'd like to see him get saved. I really would. And well, we're not looking for government or government entities and entitlements to anything but to just serve us, really. The government's here to serve us. What about this time of year outside of what I have people say, "Well, you know, I'm not for Christmas anymore. It's too commercialized." And if you're here tonight and that's your position, I'm not trying to change you. If that's the way you feel, then okay. You know, bah humbug. Amen. Back at you. And I do realize that it's been commercialized, okay? I realize Christmas has been commercialized. And it's, you know, people now, you mentioned Christmas and they think of Santa Claus and reindeer and snowmen and about anything but Jesus. Well, Christmas is about Jesus. It's about Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you about, well, when He came, there were some attitudes. Some attitudes. And I want to talk to you, what type of attitude? So I want to talk to you about the spirits of Christmas. All right? There's different spirits that people allow themselves to get into. You know, some people have a bad spirit. You ever been around people with a bad spirit? I heard a man say one time, if you want God to bless you, you need to have a good spirit. And I believe that. I believe, and we're going to talk about that in the weeks to come. The importance of having a good spirit. So many people today have a bad spirit. They just, well, like somebody we're going to talk about tonight. Matthew chapter number 2. Stand to your feet. And we'll read some scripture here. We'll read about the first 12 verses of Matthew 2. You're familiar with Matthew chapter 2. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, For thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Well, there's no way that I'm going to bring you all the truths. I don't even know that I could do it if I had the time. All the truths that are in these scriptures. But I want to give you some things about the three spirits of the people that I see in here. The attitudes that people had about the coming of Christ at the very first Christmas. Christ was born. And it affected people. And it affected people differently, just like it affects us differently. Some people say, well, I'm going to do this for Christmas. Some people say, well, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to do this. Well, I'll get involved in this. Well, I won't get involved in that. Let's see how these people responded and reacted at the first Christmas when Jesus was born. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And I pray that you would help me as I bring forth the Word of God to do it in a way, God, that would be with your power. And they would be clear. Give me clarity. And I pray, God, that you would also give your people clarity as they hear. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as I deliver your word. And fill your people with your Holy Spirit as they hear the word. And help us not to be hearers of your word only, but doers likewise. I pray that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted as a result of the preaching of the word of God this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Now, as I look at these scriptures, I notice, first of all, that there is a spirit that is kind of alarming. Because when I read these scriptures, there's a couple of sets of people that kind of stand out to me. First of all, there's Herod. And of course, he had a regime. But now, Herod was a nasty man. And we'll talk more about him in just a moment. I mean, he was a nasty man. A nut. I mean, really, it was a nut. And he was a very jealous person. And he stands out. And I expect his attitude to stand out because of the person he is. And then, of course, the wise men, they always stand out in this section of Scripture because of the gifts that they brought. And yes, I realize that the wise men were not there at the stable that they later caught up with the family and with Jesus as a young child. And we'll talk a little bit about that, the Lord willing. I want to start off with talking about people that many times are not recognized in this account of Scripture, but there's a truth, a great truth, that I pray that you and I could get that we would avoid from happening to us. Do you see who those people are? Notice, if you would, in verse number 3 and in verse number 4, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, here's something I want you to take a look at. The Lord Jesus was born, and of course we know the shepherds, and we know the Luke's account. The word had spread and had gotten out. Now here's Herod the king, and he feels intimidated. He's a very insecure man, and that history tells us this. But the scripture shows us this. And he calls a group of people together for a distinct purpose. He said, I'm counting on your knowledge of the scripture to help me out so that I can find out who is this king that these men speak of that have come to me about. Who is this king? And where is he? What's going on with him? Now watch what the scripture says here in verse number 5. They, meaning all the chief priests, you see in verse number For he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes. Now, who are the chief priests and the scribes? Well, they're the religious crowd, okay? They're the people who followed the law and Judaism, and they wrote down the scriptures. They were lawyers. These were kind of like the strictest of the religious people. They were very religious. They knew the scriptures. And so he calls them in and he asks them a question. He said in verse number 4, he called them together and he said, where is this Christ? And where is he going to be born? And they said, without hesitation. They were very, one of the things that impressed me about the missionary Sunday night, you could tell he was very acquainted with the scripture. He didn't struggle. He was very acquainted. He read his Bible. He studied his Bible. He was versed in the scripture. And that's good for a preacher. Amen. That's good. And I really appreciated that. Well, these people were too. They were very, listen, look at verse number 5. And they said unto him, well, let us go and search the scrolls and search the scriptures and we'll come back with you an answer. That's not what they said. They knew. He commanded of them some things. Hey, where is this Jesus, this Messiah? Where is this King? Where is he at? Where is he going to be born? Hey, what's going on here? Give me the answers. And they gave him the scripture. Look at verse number 5. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Of course, we know Micah. They're quoting from Micah, right? Chapter 5, verse number 2. And here it is. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now, these people had a lot of facts. But obviously they didn't have any faith. They had a spirit that we have to guard against. And I want to talk to you about that spirit. It's the spirit of apathy. Now, someone has said that anarchy is running amok in our world. Well, if that be the case, and it very well could be, there's a lot of anarchy in our world today. But there's a lot of apathy in our churches today. A lot of apathy. Now, listen to me. Apathy says, I don't care. Now, don't get apathy and ignorance mixed up. Ignorance is, I don't know. Apathy is, I don't care. So what? You ever meet people like that? You know? Hey, listen, you're a Christian, you say. And people are watching your life. And when you do things contrary to the scripture, it adversely affects people that are not saved. I don't care. Or they just kind of shrug their shoulders like, hey, God says, and you tell them what the Bible says, and you ought to do this. Oh, well, that's apathy. Apathy says, I don't care. Now, ignorance says, I don't know. And some, if you were to call somebody ignorant, they'd be ready to fight you. But ignorant is not a bad word. Stupid is. Right? Stupid is you know better, but you just won't do better. And you can't fix stupid. But now you can fix ignorance. Ignorance is, I don't know. Well, you know what? You can teach I don't know. Amen. But I'll tell you, you can call somebody apathetic and they'll act like you've complimented them. They don't care. They don't care that they don't care. Are you listening to me? And did you know that apathy can take over your life? It can take over my life. Now, the Bible doesn't say, and I'm not going to presume, but there's a possibility, and I'm just saying a possibility, that at one time these people were looking for the Messiah. They were waiting for the time that the Christ child would be born. They were enthused about that as they read the scripture about the promise of the coming of the Messiah. They were enthused about that. But for whatever reason, time passed, and now 5 miles down the road, the Messiah is born. And the king calls them in and says, hey, tell me about it. Oh, yeah, we know about that. He's, going to be born down here at this time. Eh. We've come. We're going to go to him. Won't you come and go with us?
Nah.
I see nothing in the scripture that says that these chief priests and these scribes got excited about the fact that the Messiah, the Lord, was come. I wonder how it will be this Christmas with many Christians. Probably, well, let's just say here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Will we be excited about family time and gift exchanging and dinners and events only? There's nothing wrong with any of those things. I thank God that they can be a part of the tradition of what we call the holidays. But brethren, Christmas is first and foremost about joy to the world. The Lord is come. Jesus has been born. We ought to be excited about that. Don't get caught up in all the extra stuff that we lose sight of the main thing. Now here's a group of people that did, and they became apathetic. Did you know that the Bible over and over and over again says that one of the signs of the last days is apathy? Jesus said, and I want you to turn in Matthew 24. I want you to see this. In Matthew 24, the disciples, Jesus now has grown. And as a man, he has entered into his ministry that God had given him. That 3-year period of time that is recorded right here in the scripture. And in Matthew 24, the disciples had come to him and they asked him an all-important question. Remember, this past Sunday we were talking about questions in the Bible. Some 3,400 questions in the Bible. 307 questions Jesus asked in the disciples. And here's a question that was asked Jesus. Now, I believe the Bible has the answers to all men's questions, but I'm going to tell you something. The Bible has some questions that men needs to answer. And here is a question. Look at this, if you would. Verse number 2. And Jesus said unto them, well, they came in verse number 1. And when he went out and departed from the temple, in verse number 1, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat down at the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Those are very searching questions. Very searching questions. And so the Lord Jesus began to break it down. And he began to tell them about some signs of the times. And I want you to go down to verse number 12. And I want you to see something he said that would happen, that would be a sign of his coming. Verse number 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In other words, people will not care. That's what that means. Because there's lawlessness everywhere, and people will lose their concern. Wax cold. They shrug their shoulders. There's people being murdered in open daylight on the street. There's people being mugged and robbed, and people just kind of look at it and shrug their shoulders and turn their head and go a different way. You say, preacher, a person like that ought to be called on the carpet. Well, what about a Christian that has the answer to the sin problem of the soul of man and walks by people every day and turns their head and walks away? What about that? What should happen to that individual? Ooh. See, apathy can creep into our lives. And so I want to encourage you as you go back to Matthew chapter 2, this Christmas season, and all of us know this, we hear this every year, this time of year, people become a little more open to spiritual things. You can strike up conversation, you can give out gospel tracts, you begin to talk to people, but now you got to care. See, if you don't care, you won't give out gospel tracts. If you don't care, you won't begin to strike up conversations with your waitress or with your neighbor or with people in your family, because you will have the spirit of these religious people. Now, none of us want that spirit. but all of us could have it. Now, let me tell you something that will nix apathy. Perhaps there's someone sitting here tonight and saying, well, you know what, I don't need to be told I'm apathetic. I already know I'm apathetic. What can I do to change apathy in my life? There's only one cure that I know of apathy. It's love. When Peter became apathetic and said, you know what, I'm going fishing. I'm not going to tell people about you, Jesus. I'm not going to. I'm going fishing. Jesus went to him, and what did he tell him? He said, feed my sheep. Oh, wait a minute, hold it. There was something Jesus had to get from him before he told him that, wasn't there? He said, Peter, your problem is not your knowledge of the word. See, the problem in Matthew 2 with this group of people was not they didn't know the word. They were not ignorant. They were apathetic. And many, many of us are not ignorant, but if we're not careful, we can become apathetic, right? To where it's not that we don't know. It's just, as much as it's hard to say this, we don't care. And in this day, here was a group of people, they knew, they just didn't care. 5 miles. They could have traveled and seen Jesus. Could have went with the wise men. But they didn't care. They knew, the scripture said. They had the facts. They just didn't have the faith. What did the Lord Jesus tell Peter? And then we're going to move on. What did he say? Peter, lovest thou me more than these? You love me, Peter? You see, the way you're going to get your fire back, the way you're going to start caring again, is to start loving Jesus again. That's the way it happens. You say, but preacher, I do love Jesus. Well, we could all take an acid test here. Jesus said, if you want to find out if you love me, it's just as simple as, do you keep my commandments? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Is that what he said? That's what he said, brethren. So, how do I love Jesus? How can I fall back in love with Jesus? How can I get back in love with Jesus? Preacher, I've left my first love. What can I do? Well, most of us in here are married or have a little boyfriend or girlfriend, or we love somebody. It could be our parents. You love somebody, you got to spend time with them. You got to spend time with them. You got to find out some things about them. You got to commune with them, and right? Commune. You talk to them, pray. And they talk to you. And when God talks to you, that's from His Word. Read the Word. You want to love Jesus? Spend time in His Word. Spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. You want to avoid an apathetic spirit? Don't just know what the Word says. Care. Care. All right? So here was the first group of people. Apathetic. The spirit of apathy. Now I'm praying that God would help everyone at Fellowship Baptist Church to be delivered from an apathetic spirit. That we would care. Care about people. You say, preacher, I can't help everybody, but you can help somebody. Amen? Amen. And so you pray, God, help me to be a help to somebody. Help me to care. Help me to get involved in changing people's lives. God, use me. Work through me during this season when people, listen, there are many, many of us that has much family to get with, but there's some people that have no one to get with. No one. Why, this is the most happy time of the year for most of us. For some people, it's the saddest time of the year. God, lead us to those people that we can make a difference in their lives. Help us. Help us to make a difference in their life. Okay? All right, number two. Not only is there the spirit of apathy, and that can be helped by love. Okay? Now, here was a people. Listen, you don't have to stretch the scriptures. It's right here. Right here they are, the chief priests and the scribes. I mean, they knew the scripture, but I see absolutely zero where they tried to get involved and to know about the Christ child and go to Him. It was all up here. Tell me what you know, all up here, but it was none in here. You can fix this. Listen, you can fix ignorance. But apathy, I tell you, you got to really work on that. Number two, the spirit of antagonism. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. After the wise men had come to King Herod, I wrote down some things that history tells us about King Herod, and this is just for starters. First of all, let me tell you what the scripture says about him, okay? And I'm not going to go through all of it, but just this passage. This man was nasty, all right? Look, if you would, in verse number 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked, verse number 16 of chapter 2, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Now listen, that's a heartless man. That's a demon-possessed man. That's a man that has no value for human life. History tells us that Herod was so jealous, and this, of course, is jealousy. Once he heard that there was him that was born king, that got his attention. See, he was not a Jew. Herod was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. And he was not king of the Jews. He was just acting as king over the Jewish people. And he knew that he was not in his rightful place. And he was very insecure and very jealous. And so he had his mother-in-law killed. You say, you have to be jealous to have that? Wait a minute now. He had his mother-in-law killed. Then he had his wife killed. And then he had two of his sons killed. And then he had one of his sons executed. Herod, this man, he was nasty. All right? He had a bad spirit. And some people have a bad spirit. And you say, preacher, I don't want a bad spirit. But you can develop a bad spirit. Okay? You can get a bad spirit to where you say, well, I'm not going to do that. Or I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm through with praying. God doesn't hear my praying. All this Christmas stuff. Bah humbug. I'm through with that. Everybody just commercializes and they just want a bunch of gifts. And so I'm through with it. Well, listen. You shouldn't allow what other people do to affect your spirit about anything, but particularly about the things of God. Amen. Now here was a man that allowed, and not only did his spirit, now watch this. Watch what the scripture says. He was their leader. Not a good one, but he was their leader, and it affected the people. Watch what the scripture says. Look at it here in verse number 3. And when Herod, the king, had heard these things, he was troubled. Now, if it was stopped at him, that would have been one thing, but follow with me here in verse number 3. And all Jerusalem with him. You see, the thing about a bad spirit is it's poison. The root of bitterness spreads out, and it affects other people. And so we have to be careful to guard our spirit. Amen. A bad spirit can contaminate and it can defile other people if we don't guard our spirit. Parents, I want to give you a word of warning here. Guard your spirit. Your children will be directly affected by your spirit. Guard your spirit. Guard your spirit. Now here was a man that had the spirit of antagonism. I find it interesting that Jesus threatened Herod. Jesus threatens a lot of people. But Jesus didn't come to be a threat. He came to be a help, didn't he? See, people get defensive when you mention Jesus. They get defensive. Now, a lot of people are okay with baby Jesus. Right? Come on now, baby Jesus. But now when you start talking about King Jesus, boy, I tell you now, see, well, people don't want to talk about that too much. Now, baby Jesus, all right. But when you start talking about the Lord Jesus, well, now that's another subject. But can I tell you, he's always been Lord. Amen. It's just ignorance. So the spirit of antagonism, we've seen the spirit of apathy. You don't want that. You don't want to know and just not care. Hey, tell me, what is it about this Jesus? Oh, I can tell you. Well, why aren't you down there seeing him and doing something for him? Hey, I don't care. Wasn't that the chief priests and the scribes? Was that their attitude? Sure was. Now, here's one. He didn't know and he didn't care. And what he wanted to find out for his own purposes so that he could do things that would benefit him. Now, there are people, and listen, a bad spirit will do this to you now. A bad spirit. A bad spirit causes you to be in the center. Causes me to be in the center. Don't have a bad spirit. Where everything's got to evolve around us, you know. Got to have I in the middle, or it's not going to have a happy ending. Well, can I tell you, life's not that way, is it? It's not. So here's a man that had a spirit of antagonism. That's a bad spirit. And it can happen to you now. You say, oh, preacher, God's given me a good spirit. Well, thank God for that. You keep a good spirit. And you be refreshing. Don't be one of those kind of people that when you walk up, people roll their eyes or turn and want to walk away because they know that everything you're going to spew out is going to be poison. Don't be that person. That's a bad spirit. How do you keep a good spirit? Well, keep God's word in your heart. Hide God's word in your heart. Stay in constant fellowship. Walk in the light. Walk in the Spirit. Right? We're talking about what the spirits of the first Christmas. You know, those spirits are going to prevail this Christmas. You're going to meet these people. I hope that you're not these people. Not these that we've discussed already. Not the apathetic. You're going to meet people. When you want to talk to them about Jesus around Christmas, I don't care. You know what Christmas is really about? Yeah, I don't care. Well, you should. Right? And then there's other people. Hey, we want to invite you over for dinner. Or, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, me. Yeah. Bad spirit. Bad spirit. And a Christian should have a good spirit. A good spirit. Now, let me close with this one. This is the third one, and this is the one we've been searching for. Who's the third group of people here? So wise men. What was their spirit? All right, chief priests and scribes. What was it? An apathetic spirit. You don't want an apathetic spirit. What about King Herod? Antagonistic spirit. Bad spirit. Now here's the wise men. They had a spirit of adoration. All right? They wanted to worship. You know, that's what ought to fill our hearts and our homes and our churches all the time, but in particular this time. The carol says, oh, come, let us adore him. Brethren, that ought to be the spirit that we have. Notice what the scripture says. When these men came, in verse number 1 of chapter 2, says these wise men came from the east. And I want you to underline something. I don't have time to go into it, but it's a very interesting study. Verse number 2, it says, they said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen... Do you see that next little phrase there? Not a star or the star, but his star. Now there's a reason for that, and it goes back to a prophecy in Numbers. Chapter 17, verse 24, the prophecy of Balaam. You ought to read it sometime, okay? It's very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Now, the word the star is used on, if you'll look at verse number 7, the star appeared at the latter part of verse number 7, right in the middle of verse number 9, the star, and then the first of verse number 10, and when they saw the star. Well, the star was his star. It's not just any star. Now, here these wise men came. And they came to worship. They didn't come because they didn't care. Actually, Adrian Rogers says something. I wrote it down. I hope I wrote it down. I did. I wrote it down. Distance, nor difficulty, nor danger stopped these men. Isn't that something? You know, when you think of the wise men coming, you think, well, it's a free ride and they were on government money. No. No. Listen, they took a hard road, a long road, a dangerous road. They were thugs and thieves just like they are today out there on those roads. But yet, they braved the journey because it meant something to them and they really wanted to worship. You know who worships God? Those who desire to. That's who worships God. You see, some people go through life looking for excuses. What we need to do is go through life looking for ways to make it happen, brethren. Don't build your life on excuses. And why you can't get it done. Build your life on making it happen and why you're going to see it happen by the grace of God. These men He said, well, they were three. Well, they may have been. They were three gifts. I don't know how many men they were. But I'll tell you something. When they got to Jesus, they adored him. Let's look at this as we close tonight. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. He, meaning Herod, sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Well, we know that was a farce. I mean, that was just, you know, there's always be that kind of people around, okay? You do something for me, and then I'll worship. That's not the kind of adoration I'm talking about, okay? You do all the work, and then I'll get involved in the worship. No, that's not it. That's the spirit of antagonism speaking here, not of adoration. Verse number 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till they came and stood over where the young child was. Now, I think we all are aware that by this time, the angel of the Lord had spoken to Joseph. He had moved Mary, and Jesus had taken them. And it's probably 2 years later, somewhere in that time frame, when the wise men came. And now the scripture says, and don't miss this, in verse number 10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You know, worship has a way of changing a lot of things. It really does. I think I told you Sunday night that I had a psychiatrist tell me that if people would worship God, the one true and living God, a lot of psychiatrists would be put out of business. They would. I personally believe a lot of doctors would. I just believe people have... Listen, I'm not saying if you have an emotional or a physical problem here tonight, that's because you're not worshiping. I am not saying that, okay? But what I am saying is that the scripture bears this out. There are people that have problems because they won't worship God. They won't worship. Have the spirit of adoration. Worship God. Worship Him. Notice what worship does. Worship doesn't look to get something. Worship gives. Watch what the scripture says in verse number 11. When they had come into the house, they saw, and I like the way that the Holy Spirit words this, Mary with a young child. Now, in every instance that you're talking about a mother and child, the mother's mentioned first. But not when we're talking about this mother and child. Now, the Holy Spirit had a distinct purpose for doing this because God knew that there were going to be people that would put Mary on a plane that she didn't belong. Mary receives no worship. Everybody in here should have said amen. Mary receives no worship. And so the scripture says, when they came into the house, they saw the young child with his mother Mary and fell down and worshiped. And I want you to underline or highlight or do something with that next word. It does not say them. Okay? It does not say them. It says him. Because he and he alone is the only one that should be worshiped. Amen. And so when we have the spirit of adoration, we won't worship the preacher. Listen, I appreciate the fact that you appreciate me as your pastor. You don't know how much I appreciate that. A lot of pastors do not have the appreciation that this church family gives me, and I'm very, very thankful to God for that. I am not saying that you shouldn't appreciate your pastors or your church family, but worship belongs to God alone. Amen. We're not for man worship. We're for God worship. And here, the spirit of adoration, these men worshiped Him. Him and Him alone. And so when our spirit is right, we will worship Him and Him alone. But we will worship Him. Now, what do we do in our worship? Well, there's many things that we do, but I want to give you this as we close. We give. We humble ourselves. He said in verse number 11, fell down. That's the spirit of humility. The spirit of humility. These are important spirits. The spirit of adoration. The spirit involved in the spirit of adoration is the spirit of humility. The spirit of giving. Not only did they fall down, but it says they opened their treasures and they presented unto Him. Not them. They presented unto Him. You don't serve the preacher with the gifts that God's given you. You don't do that. We serve God with our spiritual gifts. Amen. They presented the gifts unto him, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and we'll talk more about these as the season draws near. But now here are three spirits, and I will grant you, whether it's in the mall, whether it's on 29 or Highway 3, whether it's at church or at home or in the community, these spirits are going to try to find their way into our lives. But we get to choose. We get to choose. And you can say, you know what? This has been a bad year. Actually, I talked to a guy probably less than a week ago, and his almost exact words were, as I was in just browsing, Gene and Sharon were shopping, and I was just browsing. You men know how that goes, right? Amen. And we call it browsing. They call it shopping. But I was just kind of looking around, and I said, so how's business? Has it picked up yet? And he said a little word about it. And I was just getting ready to say, you know, this is my favorite time of the year. And before I could say that, he said, you know, I really don't like the holiday season that much. And I said, really? And he said, nah. He said, just a lot going on. And he's kind of told me a couple of personal. And his story was, there's really nothing to celebrate. So, what do you think I did? Shake his hand and say, you're right. Why don't we just, you know, sit here and swallow worms and die? No way. I said, there's much to celebrate. There's much to celebrate if you know why we celebrate the season. Listen, I don't care if the dog ran into the cat and the washing machine ran into the dryer and the water pipes burst and you had bills pile up. Listen, that shouldn't matter. You know what matters? What matters is that Jesus is Lord. And we are celebrating the fact that Jesus came to this world to die for our sin. And I told this young man that. And I said, do you know anything about that? And he started mentioning church. Listen, I'm not going to go into it. You know. We're not celebrating church. We're not celebrating Christmas trees. We're not celebrating Santa Claus. We're not celebrating Frosty, Rudolph, gift exchange, family events. We're celebrating the fact that God sent his son into this world. Jesus is the reason, not one of the reasons. Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen. Now those other things, thank God for them. Amen. There's nothing wrong with exchanging gifts and having a Christmas tree. Listen, you can grab your children and dance around if you want to. Just don't post it on Facebook. Amen. I don't want to see it. But when we lose sight of Jesus being the reason for the season, the spirit of apathy and antagonism can creep in instead of the spirit of adoration. Let's all stand. Well, I tell you, these spirits will get us. And we want to have the right spirit. And this year, you have the spirit of adoration, not just at Christmas time, but all the time. Worship God. Worship God. Come before Him with thanksgiving and praise.